John, the sixth chapter. John's Gospel, the sixth chapter. And I'd like to read some verses that I believe will touch your life and make a difference in your life. It always seems so strange that as long as Jesus was having loaves and fishes Sunday, he had a good crowd. But then he started teaching some things that weren't very popular. And the Word of God said that from that time, many people, from that time, verse 66, from that time, many of his, even his disciples, and some people say, well, if you disciple somebody, why, they can't go wrong. So, but it does come back to scriptural principles. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Now, I'm going to be a little serious here for a few moments because I have some things on my heart that I believe God wants me to share today. Many of his disciples went back. Went back to what? To where? And walked no more. They didn't take a day off or stay out of church a week or two or whatever. They walked with him no more. And then said Jesus unto the 12, thank God they were still there, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. And of course, we know that he spake of Judas Iscariot. For he that should betray him, he was one of the 12. I brought a message somewhere in the past. I could check it in the archives on being quit proof, but I'd like to give the same title at a different time to the message this morning. If there was ever an hour that ministers not only need to reap the harvest, but equip the saints of God to be quit proof, it's the day in which we live. Where are you going to find a better Bible school teacher than Jesus? Where are you going to find a better professor of religion than Jesus? Where are you going to find a greater miracle worker than Jesus, the Son of the living God? And yet, he taught certain things that crossed their religious beliefs. I guess they believed that. They thought they did. And they got offended, and they followed him no more. Now, I mean, notice the wording of this. I mean, I just went over this very slowly. The Bible said they, from that time, many of his disciples, many, not one or two, many of his disciples went back. They not only went back, they walked no more with him. Then, of course, it prompted the question, will you also go away? I just went back to my memory bank, and I remember when I was in Bible college, a very special friend of mine, very gifted, even as a young man in preaching, and very gifted as an evangelist. And he left Bible college because of financial reasons, and actually went out full time in meetings, which was just amazing at that time back then. And I'd go to the post office, and he would write me on a regular basis what happened in the meetings from time to time. I lived to receive those letters of encouragement, praying for him. But then a little while, I didn't receive any mail from my friend. And finally, I got a letter. And he said, "Dear Bob, I hate to say this, but," he said, "I'm out of the ministry. I've made a very serious mistake. And it has been very costly." And he said, "I'm out of the ministry." He was not only out of the ministry, he went back to where he was before. And as a young Christian, preparing my own life for the ministry, I thought, "Dear God, if he can't make it," I mean, as far as I was concerned, he was a far better Christian than I was at that point, and had a strong faith, and God had used him in a very, very special way. But there was just a trap of Satan that was set for him, and he fell into that trap and couldn't find the grace or someone to help him get out of that. And so he was lost to the ministry. You know, it seems like every time you turn on the news, if you want to waste your time or you read something in the newspaper, I mean, this last few days has been crazy. It's just been a strange thing. In fact, I've heard people say, "Well, I thought if anybody, not them, not that, not this situation." Now, I'm not going to stay there, but I have a purpose in saying what I'm saying. Human beings will fail. Human beings can fail. Human beings without Jesus have already failed and come short of the glory of God. And I think of politicians. And here's one thing that, as I was praying and meditating along these lines, don't ask me, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I mean, I wouldn't say any more than I'm saying right now. But there are political names who have fallen, who at one time, the news media doesn't remember that. I remember, because I remember reading a few years ago about those things. But at one time, they were in church. At one time, they were living for God. One at one time was playing his instrument, even in camp meeting, for the glory of God. I mean, he would take vast periods of time off in the summertime to go play his instrument because he enjoyed being in revival in camp meeting. And then probably one of the greatest disgraces that's ever happened in Washington, he fell heir to that, or fell prey to that. And as we look at that, I want to just share with you from the Word of God today how to be quit-proof. Quit-proof. Now, it's only by the grace of God, and there's no formula that is going to keep you. I understand that. I mean, it's our individual faith and our individual choice on whether we will continue to go on and serve God. I know in the area of revival, there were so many ministers that came through when we had that powerful outpouring downtown, hungry for God, weeping before God, spending time before God, spending carpet time with God, who today are not even in, and for some time haven't even been in the ministry. You say, "Oh, you're on a downer?" No, I'm not on a downer. But you know, by the grace of God, I believe God's put me in this pulpit this morning to say to every one of you And look in the mirror when I say it to you, I say it to myself. We don't have to quit. There are things you can settle in your heart. There are things you can settle in your faith. That no matter how big a mess may be swirling all around you, that God's grace is sufficient. I mean, when your emotions are at the lowest tide possible, when someone has let you down in an awesome way, when you've lost a loved one, or when business didn't go like you thought it would go, or you've lost some money, or you trusted somebody, and a friendship was betrayed, at your lowest moment, there is a grace of God that will keep you and see you through. I'm trying to find words for what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is so profound. It's amazing. One of the greatest revivals in the Metroplex would be people that at one time have been on fire for God. I mean, in church, in the Word, serving God, giving, praying. I mean, even to the point of just being almost radical for the things of God. But today, they haven't been to church in years. I meet them all the time. I meet people that have come through here, through downtown, through our first location. Oh, we used to, Pastor Nichols, some of the greatest days of our life. People tell me these things. I've been a Fort Worth resident for a long time. And very sincerely, they look me in the face. And, oh, I wish I could tell you how blessed we were. Where are you now? Well, Pastor, we don't go anywhere. Well, what's happening? Well, not much, really nothing. And you keep trying to get that spark going, but they just look at you. And you know, let me tell you, God's grace, I'm just going to work on it and say it until you can say it better than I can this morning. No matter where you are today or where you will be in the future, or what happens, or who does this or who doesn't do that, or who said this or who let you down, or no matter what, the Bible teaches us that God's grace is greater than any conceivable situation that any of us could ever find ourselves in. We used to sing it as a chorus. You used to hear it quite often. I guess we need to start saying some of those old things again. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. You see, here in these verses, I ministered along these lines a number of years ago up in Colorado, and it was called to my attention here just a few days ago, and I couldn't get away from it. And I felt so strongly that God wanted us to share. I don't have the notes for that. I just have a few points from that time. Peter mentioned five things that kept the disciples from leaving Jesus. Five things. And it's all right here in John, the 6th chapter, verses 66 and 67, 68, right through there. First of all is, yeah, Peter failed. We all know that. We all know that. How well we all know that. We know Peter failed, okay? And denied Christ, because when you miss the prayer meeting, and when you're not, I'm not talking about a geographical thing here, but I mean, when you're not in prayer, you're not in the Word, you're not in church, It's not a preacher thing. It's not an ego thing on my part. But I watch people, and I watch people come, and I watch them go. And when I don't see somebody for a while, my heart goes out. And I said, hey, check on so-and-so. Look, I can't see it all. I have to depend on other eyes many times. But I realize, folks, our strength is the things of God. That's where we started, and that's all that's going to keep us going. Reverend doesn't keep me going. Pastor doesn't keep me going. Length of time of being in the ministry is not what keeps me going. It's the things of God. Things don't always go my way either. ministers face things. It's amazing when ministers have to go through to preach certain things. To know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when they speak, I've been there, I know what I'm talking about, and here's what the Word says, and I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to tell you, God's bigger than your circumstance. God's bigger than your feelings. God's bigger than, yes, He's even bigger than your failures. Hallelujah. The biggest failure in the world is to fail God and keep on failing God. That's the biggest failure right there. Failing God's not good, but to keep on and not run to God instead of away from God, you just keep digging the ditch a little bit deeper. Peter had it settled in his heart here that Jesus was Lord. Notice in that 68th verse, Lord. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord. Who or what is Lord of your life, my life? Is it sports? Is it hobbies? Is it this? Is it that? We went through a time and we saw all kind of bumper stickers. I love my dog. I love my cat. I love my squirrel. I love my gerbils or whatever. What are you into? Who or what is Lord of your life? That when everything else goes south, you've still got something going for you. Lord, Peter had settled it in his heart, even back here in the 6th chapter of John. Jesus is Lord. And if He is truly Lord, then there's no other option. There is no other option. Jesus is Lord. So that's point number one. Settle in your heart, Jesus is Lord. Secondly, what other options do we have? Understanding that Jesus is the only way to the Father, to truth, to life. Notice He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to go? I mean, there are people that their relatives have caused them to fall out from the things of God. Well, I got to run in with my best friend. No, this is serious stuff now. You need to watch who you run with. You need to watch who you listen to. Well, they're sweet people. I'm not questioning how sweet they are, but are they helping you or hindering you in your walk with God? That's what it comes down to. I'm kind of on a realism kick here lately. Lord, Jesus is Lord. To whom shall we go? Where can we go? Where else is there to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You cannot be strong apart from the Word of God. You cannot. you'll limp along and you'll come in and come out and have highs and lows and all kind of situations in between. But it's only God's word, the eternal word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades away. But the word of our God, it's been in the news so often the past few days and months and even short years. I swear up and down I never did. And they did. Not me. Mad at the world, suing, raising Cain, you know, until it's just in their face and they've got to admit it. Whoever it is, and I'm just, but Lord, the word, God's word will never let you down. I remember several years ago, a minister that was here in the greater Fort Worth area, he's going to be with the Lord now, but he said he was in the post office. I remember him preaching a minister's meeting. He said, I was in the post office. He said, actually, he was over the post office wherever he was, whatever they call them, some kind of a postmaster. And he said, almost every day we had to get out the manual and put in a new page because things kept changing. God wrote the book, got it right the first time. When you go to the word, you go, oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't work anymore. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People change, cultures change, trends come and go, but the word of the Lord is constant. So shall my word be. So, no other way. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, Isaiah 55. So, settleth that Jesus is Lord. Settleth there's nowhere else to go. Well, I just got my feelings hurt, so I'm just going to stay home with myself. Yourself is a rotten excuse. Just look in the mirror all you want to, but you still can't get there from here. Amen. I'm not trying to be fancy with it. I'm just dishing it out, this smorgasbord today. Jesus is Lord. Where else can we go? The word of eternal life. Thank God for that word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. And here's another one that's so important. And we believe. We believe. Oh, we sing that pretty quickly, but do we really believe? Your faith will see you through. Your faith will bring you out. Your faith will make a way. We believe. We believe. I believe. Do you believe? We're believers. And we believe. Have faith in God. There's times I just spend a while when I'm praying about something. I just pause and I just say, I believe God. 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 For you see, the just shall live by faith. The just shall not live by feelings. Almost anyone you meet that's in and out, up and down, off and on, they're living by feelings. They're not living by reality. They're not living by bedrock faith in God. It's just, how do I feel? If it feels good, do it. Feelings. Oh. But we believe. Here's another one that's so important. And we are sure. Sure. Sure thing. Sure, you can count on it. Sure. I've made up my mind. I've settled it in my heart that all of the above is true. I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. I could spend the rest of the day just quoting that phrase, and I think I'd be flying like wings with eagles. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. There is no other. There is no other. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And something else came as I was meditating and studying on this. And I almost had the faith to go for it, but I knew I didn't have time to do it. God really spoke this to my heart. First and Second Peter was written to teach us how to overcome any time, every time, especially in the end time. I'm going to be devouring 1 and 2 Peter. And really, as God was speaking to my heart, I was just in 1 Peter. I mean, 2 Peter's more of the same. But you know, when you look at the Word of God over in Peter, Peter says so many powerful things. He tells us that we are kept by the power of God through faith. See, Satan will come and say, you're not kept. There's not enough grace for you. Look at you. You goofed. You blew it. You made a mistake. You fell. You whatever. But 1 Peter 1:5 said, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Kept. 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 Well, I'm not going to get started in 1 Peter. We'd be eating supper here today, but I've got the notes for it anyway. Praise God. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We're kept by the power of God. It's Peter that said, God gave us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature. Just like you eat food and food becomes strength to your body, so you read the word of God and you believe it and you're stronger than you were before. Rise up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I hope you will spend some time in 1 and 2 Peter because it teaches us. You say, well, what authority does Peter have? Well, I think he's got all the credentials he needs. In the worst time in the universe, he denied Jesus. But the grace of God brought him out and brought him through. Who could make a worse mistake than deny Jesus? Peter did it. And after Jesus was resurrected, he said, go tell my disciples and please get the word to Peter. I know he's going through a world of hurt. I understand. Peter's writing from the well of human experience. He's been there. He's been there. At the worst time possible, he denied Jesus. I don't even know him. What are you talking about? Just a little old teenager. What difference does that make? But he was intimidated and denied Jesus. But Jesus didn't stop loving him. And aren't you glad that he didn't stop loving all of us? Aren't you glad that his love is still so real, so wonderful? And he still has a good plan for your life? Glory to God. He said over here in 2 Peter, the first chapter, I don't have time to tell you those things. You can read it for yourself. But in the 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Quit proof. Do you understand? This is a guarantee. He said, you get yourself established in my word and believe my word, and I'm the Lord of your life, and you're sure, and you believe, and your heart is inclined toward my word. That's not talking about heaven or hell. That's talking about falling in life. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall. You may be tempted to. You may feel like it. Your senses may try to guide you in that direction. But then you say, wait a minute. I'm kept by the power of God. I believe God. Don't have to fail. Don't have to fall. Don't have to go back. Anybody connecting with what I'm saying this morning? I mean, he just had some awesome, awesome things to say. Awesome things. Awesome things to say. He even said, even about your stuff you're going through, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Think it not strange. Why is this so weird? I don't understand. I'm the only one in the world that's going through what I'm going through. God help me, God help me. No, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. It's only temporary. Temporary. Stamp, not permanent, but temporary. I'm coming through, I'm coming out. I don't know about you, but I got myself real happy up here. Praise God. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Just humble yourself and cast all your cares on him. The thing that I want to leave with you today, God's word will make you, if you believe it, embrace it, live it, walk it, let it be a part of your daily life. You'll be quit proof. I'm going to tell you the most pitiful sight you'll ever see is someone who's been so on fire for God and there's no fire burning. You look in their eyes, they're just hollow, hopeless. Oh God, I just think how wonderful God's word is. God says, I know you've missed it. I know you failed. I know you've not done everything like you should have done it. But I still love you. And my grace is still sufficient. And hey, just stay close to me. I'm going to help you see this thing through. Just don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. It's just a season. It's just for a season. Seasons come and seasons go, at least in Texas. Amen. Seasons come and seasons go. But God's word remains the same. Whew. Hallelujah. Quit proof. How to never quit on Jesus. 1 and 2 Peter was written to teach us how to overcome anytime, every time, especially in the end time. If you're tempted to fail or fall, read 1 and 2 Peter first. Hallelujah. Read John the 6th chapter, verses 66, 67, 68, right through there. And let the Spirit of God just lift you up. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of God's word today? Hallelujah. I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to praise the Lord. The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't be so bummed out if Hollywood characters fail and Washington politicians fail and people around you may fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Your family may fail. Someone else may fail. Your boss may fail. But Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Amen. That's a good Christmas message. Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. What God started, God will finish. I said, what God has started in your life, God will finish it. And He will perfect that which He has promised. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. All to His hand, to God's unchanging hand. All to His hand, all to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. All to God's unchanging hand. Yes, all to His hand. All to God's unchanging hand. All to His hand. All to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, sing it with me, children. Hold to His hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hey.